My dear brothers and sisters, in today's first reading, we hear of the Spirit of God, a Spirit that was imbued upon Moses, and now God is taking that Spirit and he is lavishing it upon 70 others, and then there are two other guys to get the Spirit. You and I need to think a little bit more about the Holy Spirit. I was talking with someone recently who made the startling and unfortunately accurate assessment that we Christians don't think nearly as much about the Holy Spirit as we should. It's perhaps understandable that we know a Father and we know a Son, but what is this Holy Spirit? How do we enter into relationship with the Holy Spirit? But we need to learn, because we are Christians because we have been given the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit that came upon us at baptism and made us Christians by washing away original sin, adopting us as God's children, and giving us the promise of eternal life. We are Christians because the Holy Spirit descended upon us. So the question is, how do we act? How do we receive that Holy Spirit? Many of us here have also received the Holy Spirit in the great sacrament of confirmation. God has lavished his Spirit upon us. Now we find in that first reading, these two guys who weren't there when God was giving the Spirit to the 70, but we find an important detail. Their names were on the list. They had been invited, but they had other things to do. But God still gave them his Holy Spirit. In today's gospel, we find the apostles complaining because there's some other guys who are doing miracles in the name of Jesus. We better stop them. Jesus says no. Because his Holy Spirit is at work in so many different ways. Even ways that you and I don't recognize, or amongst people we would think it unlikely. But we don't want to be like those two who were called to receive the Holy Spirit, but didn't show up. You and I have already received the Holy Spirit in baptism. So I'd like us to think about the Holy Spirit in two ways, and I'm going to give you two words to help you remember these ways. Phelps and Ferrari. All right, so when someone asks you later today, what did Father Joseph preach about? Say, Phelps and Ferrari. In the course of a normal day, you and I make decision after decision after decision. There's so many choices as we wend our way through daily life. But the problem is, you and I usually just embrace the moment, make a choice, and keep going. Now, it would be improbable for us to stop at every choice and make a novena. And yet, we should be consulting God. God has more than an opinion about how we live our lives. And God gives us his Holy Spirit to guide us. One of the titles of the Holy Spirit is the Counselor. But so often, we don't ask for counsel. We assume that my idea, my plan, my timeline, my expectations, it must be this way. We don't stop and ask, God, what is your plan? What is your expectation? Let's imagine that I decided I was going to take up swimming. As I'm crossing the street, there sitting at the bus stop is none other than Michael Phelps. World's greatest swimmer, all those gold medals no one's ever equaled. And I think to myself, what a coincidence. I'm going to start swimming, and here is the world's greatest swimmer. Nah, I won't bother him. Well, my dear brothers and sisters, we know that would be foolish. If God put the expert next to me, then why shouldn't I ask for some tips? How do you do this? What makes it better? The Holy Spirit is given to us as the expert. The Holy Spirit knows all things. And you and I forget to ask or display a reticence to ask the expert for guidance. Pride, my way. I don't need anybody else's input. I'm just fine. I'll do it my way. Foolish. The Holy Spirit is the expert in the Christian life because the Holy Spirit is the one who makes Christians. You and I need to ask at every step of my life, Lord, show me. Holy Spirit, guide me. Too often we can get caught up in our own plans, and then we do like the people in the second reading. St. James chastises them because they've spent all of their energy, all of their resources, choosing things that pass away, things that don't last. We need God to direct us to store up treasure in heaven. We need God to give us his counselor, and we need to listen to that counselor. Now, the second way that the Holy Spirit can help us is because the Holy Spirit is the power of God. How many times do we come to something challenging in life and go, oh, I don't think I can handle this. Why would God allow all of these things to happen in my life in this way at this moment? I'm overwhelmed. I can't deal with this. That is the sure sign of a person who is relying on their own strength rather than on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the power of God given to us. That when something's too much for me to handle, it is most certainly not too much for God to handle. I can do all things in God who strengthens me. That's how St. Paul professed his faith in Christ. All things are possible, for nothing is impossible with God. That's what we're told when miracles happen. You and I need to learn to live by the power of God. So let's imagine for a moment that I was making a visit to my home state, where on some beautiful rural stretches of highway, it's flat and you can see all the way to the Arctic. And on those interstate highways, some of them have a speed limit of 85 miles an hour. So let's say I'm going along cruising at 84 and a half, and I see in the right lane a bright red Ferrari convertible. I go, ooh. But then I notice it's going 25 miles an hour. And what do I immediately know? Something must be wrong. That Ferrari has an engine that's made to roar. It's made to go zipping along that highway. Why is it poking along at 25 miles an hour? Something must be wrong. Yes. And when you and I, in our Christian discipleship, go poking along, there's something wrong, because we have something so much more powerful than a Ferrari's engine right here inside of us. We have the Holy Spirit. And instead of poking along, we are meant to throw ourselves into the mission of the church. We are meant to blaze with the light of Christ. That's why the Holy Spirit came down as tongues of flame. And Jesus said, "Oh, how I wish this baptism of fire was already burning brightly." We're not meant to poke along. We're meant to blaze in glory. So I'd like to ask you to think about something. Last week, we had our discipleship fair. And I think sometimes we approach things like this with a needs-based mentality. Father needs more people to do stuff. We need to remember, if God simply wanted stuff to get done, he'd send the angels to do it. They'd do it better and faster. It's not about getting stuff done. Same thing, oh, Father needs more money. There's a leaky roof, or there's an aging boiler, or whatever. We approach church life in terms of needs. But I'm going to tell you, I'm turning the tables on you right now. The need is on our part, you and I. We need to put the Holy Spirit that's been given to us into action. You and I need to let our discipleship be alive. So it's not about the needs of the parish. It's about my need to participate in the mission of the church. I need that because I am changed. Not just that donuts get served and bills get paid. I am changed when I give of myself. I let Christ stretch and transform me. I need to participate. I need to let the Holy Spirit take control of the reins and go. I need to stop poking along. My dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit has been lavished in abundance upon each and every one of us. Let's seek counsel from the Holy Spirit to guide us, and the power of the Holy Spirit to push us, that we might blaze with the light of Christ in our broken world.